Our reading this morning, which informs the sermon, is from Matthew 5. We know it as the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, in the same way they persecuted the prophets who came before you." I'm a Unitarian Universalist, so I know all about heresy. This service is called the Heresy of White Christian Nationalism. Our history is literally a track record of every time the current orthodoxy made a decision and we diverged from following it. Heresy is not the beginning of a new faith or a new set of teachings. Heresy is when somebody inside an existing faith attempts to make changes to how the faith is practiced, as well as how leaders might enforce these mandates. We in the U.S. did not implement a state religion in our Constitution. In fact, we ensured that it will not happen within our democracy. But now there is a political group masquerading as a religious movement called White Christian Nationalism. And I want to be clear about the meaning of this phrase. There are Black Christian Nationalists. They are not the same. Also, this is not an indictment on Christianity. This is this specific group, and I don't know when we meet one out in the wild, if they would claim to be a white Christian nationalist. Let's be clear, this is a political movement. They are white-centered, misogynist, characterizing Jesus as white and a source for military power, and at the center of it all is the U.S., poised to become a world superpower with that kind of leadership. Our experiment in democracy is 250 years old this month, and religious freedom, a tenet of our Constitution, is slipping from our grasp as we see horrible adulterated practice and belief rise as white Christian nationalism. We need to be clear with ourselves that dismantling the power structures enforced by this movement is not anti-Christian. We are working to keep our constitutional rights, the separation of church and state, in place so that equality among disparate groups remains the standard and not state-sanctioned oppression by a fake Christian movement. Course correction is needed when a heresy flares up. For instance, in 325, the Council of, that's 325, that's what, like, 1,700 years ago, the Council of Nicaea met to come up with a creed that would unite believers. At that point, that new religion, Christianity, was a couple hundred years old and had spread all over the Roman Empire. And so there were beginnings of different schools of thought. And the church fathers felt strongly they needed to quash the advancement so that there could be conformity. Arius, A-R-I-U-S. People who followed him were called Arians, but not like racist Aryan Brotherhood people, Arians. Arius had been causing problems by saying that Jesus wasn't the same as God, but rather a beloved and special son of God. This bothered the Trinitarians, who felt it deeply important to teach new Christians about the Trinity, three equally important and eternal deities, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. By 325, Emperor Constantine convened the council to once and for all put the Arian ideals to rest. Not only were leaders concerned with the actual issues of what God wants, but also uniformity of belief and practice would make it a whole lot easier for these widespread churches to grow and be uniform. It would be easier to understand the teachings if they all agreed. At one point during the nearly 2 month long meeting, I mean, I know church meetings can go long, but 2 months, Nicholas of Myra actually slapped Arius. This is how fervent these people were about how to understand God's wishes for us. They were also fervent about having control. Arius had previously been labeled a problem, but after the Council of Nicaea, he was a heretic. Because there was now an orthodox understanding of how the Trinity works, stated in the newly minted creed, Arius was seen as a heretic and not just holding some problematic view. 2 years after the council, Arius, who had been exiled to Illyricum, died. Historians conjecture it may have been poisoning, but his enemies publicized that it was divine retribution. Being a heretic is tough business. Arius certainly could not have foreseen that in 2026, we would be meeting as Unitarian, meaning the unity of God, Unitarian Universalists, and talking about him as a forebearer. But we do, because no matter how politically active we may be, no matter how much we love reason and science, at the end of the day, we are a religion. Our roots are in Christianity. The Arian controversy is a great example of what happens when people who are presumably practicing the same religion part ways. In those ancient times, the government ruler got dibs on which religion or specific type of that religion would be the law of the land. The Great Reformation was not simply about changing how people worshiped, but how the laws would affect them too. In nations whose monarchs dictated which religion would be the official faith of the land, which was most of them. For instance, when Henry VIII wanted a divorce, which was not legal in Catholic lands, he embraced Lutheranism. If the king was allowed to be divorced, so could others. When it comes to power and territory, state churches got the benefit from taxes. So besides marriage laws, there could also be an impact on people's livelihoods. When the king converted and embraced Protestant teachings, so must the subjects. All through time in the last 2,000 years, except in rare cases when the monarch or emperor practiced religious tolerance toward their subjects, people have been expected to publicly espouse the state religion as the nation-state dictated, even if they privately held their own different beliefs and practices. So now here we are, being swept up in this slide into authoritarianism, trying to exist as a liberal, pluralist faith who believes in the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Some days, friends, it goes better than others. We have many UUs, in-house even, who are Christian or hold Christian beliefs. Our roots come from two doctrines, Unitarianism, the heretical belief that God is one, not three, and Universalism, the heretical belief that God will reconcile with all of us. Neither I nor the faith are considered to be Christian in our professed creedal belief in the risen Christ and going to life in heaven. Therefore, while I profess the sinfulness and harm of white Christian nationalism, I would not have thought to say that they are Christian heretics, but a political group. For 20 years, I almost quoted myself. I was reading old sermons, and I thought, oh, this is really good. Who wrote this? I'm like, oh, I wrote this. For 20 years, I've been using the phrase Christianist to differentiate between Christians who follow the teachings of Jesus and Christianists who worship Christianity and the power it offers. Christianists do not follow the Beatitudes, but rather handpick passages that make Jesus seem like a god of war who praises might, not meekness. I do not see them as Christians, and yet, not being one myself, I cannot call the movement a heresy. But another Christian could and has. The Presbyterians, who were founded by the very strict John Calvin, have spoken out against white Christian nationalism as a heresy. From their statement earlier this month, at the 227th General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA, commissioners voted overwhelmingly, 459-29, to approve a statement called Standing Against White Christian Nationalism. They declared it a theological error, incompatible with Jesus' teachings, and advanced an amendment to the denomination's Book of Order. Going on with their statement, white Christian nationalism is not a neutral theological perspective, but an ideology that has historically and presently undergirds a system of racial hierarchy, exclusion, and violence. It distorts the gospel by conflating Christian identity with nationalism, centering whiteness, and legitimizing harm against Black, Indigenous, and other communities of color, as well as religious minorities, immigrants, women, and LGBTQIA+ people. That's their statement. Go Presbyterians! What we are seeing these days in a system called white Christian nationalism is a hate group masquerading as a religion, full of racists, bigots, and really judgmental, mean people, not aiming to bring about peace or harmony, as most world religions are. They are looking for power and territory, real estate, not for living as Jesus taught, or even understanding every person as God's child. While they have been growing and have been a thorn in the side of so many, now they are gaining political power, and I fear that they are becoming a state religion. We must stay vigilant for ourselves and for those we protect, because it is part of being a Unitarian Universalist to stand up for people, to protect the vulnerable. 20 years ago, I moved from Maine back to Virginia. Looking back, I remember my first impression of the parents at my kids' preschool classes. Clearly, I had stumbled into something as an outsider, and I never did get invited in, thank God. The Quiverful Movement. Have you heard of this? The Quiverful Movement, similar to the current tradwife, traditional housewife, the Quiverful Movement, similar to the current tradwife lifestyle, was not necessarily evil, or so it seemed. It goes like this. Procreation is what God wants for us. So women should always be married and open to conception and motherhood. This belief in itself could just be personal choice, like how farming families had lots of kids, so the farm had workers. But in the Quiverful or tradwife movements, there is deep institutional misogyny for sure. It places women as subservient to their husbands, invisible to any other man. Like, men won't talk to women in this movement. A woman's place is to bear children, each child an arrow making a full quiver for the Lord. The Quiverful Movement. Some of these women, it's real and it's big. Some of these women held advanced degrees and they seemed like other moms. But they had a kid a year, and they deferred to their husbands for everything. I'm not talking about healthy communication. For everything. They all knew each other, and they attended the same church. As I stayed in Virginia, and I started to serve a UU church there, I found out about Patrick Henry College, because some of my congregants held regular protests there. Have you all heard about Patrick Henry College? Basically, I say unto you, I wrote out unto you, read up on it when you're feeling brave. To some degree, it is like all the other conservative schools, like Liberty or Oral Roberts, with one alarming difference. Students who have mostly been homeschooled until college are there to learn how to bend the nation toward a theocracy, meaning theo, God, government, God-governed, to bend the nation toward a theocracy with warrior Jesus up at the top. Jesus, who is mighty and strong, not loving and tender, is on top. There, Jesus loves war. Interns at Patrick Henry College serve on the Hill and in government offices nationally, way disproportionately. You can look and see which school each intern or page is from. Patrick Henry College only has about 1,000 students. And when you look at the roster of all of the people serving as interns or pages, over half of them are from Patrick Henry College. Interns serve on the Hill after studying journalism, economics and business analytics, strategic intelligence in national security, American politics and policy, international politics and policy, political theory, and strategic intelligence. When we are talking about this heresy of using the Christian name while not following Jesus' teachings, we are talking about these seemingly nice folks. Nice folks who spend their time, money, parenting years, and their own futures working to secure a world that does not look like any kind of faith or life I would ever embrace. No people of color, immigrants gone or enslaved in work camps, white women as vessels for children, white men in charge of everything, no sexual orientation or gender identity diversity, no other religion but the state-authorized one, really living out 1984, or The Handmaid's Tale. And Jesus? Nobody there is recognizable by that name. White Christian nationalism gets it all wrong. We, people of faiths, almost never get it right. We've endorsed slavery. We've kept women at lower class than men. We've been terrible to our LGBTQ human family. We've misunderstood the creation story as having dominance rather than stewardship. We are definitely, we humans, we are an imperfect family, one and all. But these religions that we belong to, all of the ones that are based in a love for God and for others, we are committed to making a more noble, diverse, healed world. We admit mistakes and we change. White Christian nationalism is doing their best too, to control the religious and political lives of Americans, and they're going about it from the ground up. They got schools, they got programs. They have no apologies, they are not bothered by facts. Friends, if you have ever felt like praying or marching or speaking up or whatever you would do if you weren't afraid, now is a good time to embrace that power of love. It will be love and our faith in that liberal, expansive love that will have to face the heresy. We will keep protecting the minoritized, the vulnerable, the people being persecuted by this fascist movement. Unitarian Universalists are joined by a great cloud of real Christians, real Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, others who will keep being faithful, faithful to working on ending divisions, to bring love, healing, and liberation to the downtrodden while holding peace in our hearts. May it be so.